seems to me that the singing tonight has been especially beautiful. Perhaps one of the reasons for that is the general subject and content of the songs that we have been singing as we've been singing about heaven. The following is a paragraph that is taken from an article that appeared recently in Bulletin Digest. The article was entitled, Near-Death Experiences. Documentaries have been made, books written, testimonies bought and paid for by those who are trying to make a dollar by selling their goods to an always gullible public. Talk shows, tabloids, Hollywood, and other propaganda have heralded certain voices who claim to have had brushes with the other side of eternity only to be snatched from death by teams of doctors. Is this a reality? Could it be true? Could these testimonies give us some insight to the other side of eternity? Not likely. I think that that little paragraph introduces to us something which ought to cause us some concern, cause us to be interested in knowing what the Bible teaches, and also to be able to at least put into focus some of the claims that are being made today. If you watched the Olympics during the last few weeks, you saw on more than one occasion a person who had won the event, whose father or some other relative who had died, make a statement to the effect that my father was watching me, he saw what I did, he is happy where he is, suggesting that those who have passed on are somewhere watching what is going on here on earth. It is important, I believe, for us to think about the ramifications of such an idea and to put this in focus as far as the Word of God is concerned. In recent weeks, some of you have asked questions as we have been discussing God's Word about the other side of death. What takes place when death comes? What do we know about what is on the other side of death? It is apparent from the songs that we have sung, realizing that those are based upon the teaching of God's Word, that we do know quite a bit about heaven and what it is going to be like. I'm not for sure that there is any one of us who is capable of really understanding the true beauty of heaven, because God who made it is the one whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts and whose ways are higher than our ways, Isaiah 55, verse 8. And it may very well be that even some of the descriptions that are given to us of heaven are given in language that you and I would understand to help us to, as we sang earlier, realize how beautiful heaven must be. And I'm not for sure that there's any of us who really can comprehend at this point just how beautiful it is. But we do have a lot given to us to tell us what heaven is like past the judgment, and also to tell us how terrible the other place is where people may go past the judgment. But what about the other side of death? What takes place on the other side of death? I have watched a few of these shows, especially some of the ones that have been interviewed on some of the talk shows, and have listened to the claims of people who claim to have left their body in the spirit and hovered over the body, seeing what was going on, still able to know what was going on earth, and to experience some kind of a delightful situation, usually described with the word light, and with the word beauty, and the word of something that is just so pleasant, and then have come back and claim to have gone out of the body, to have been on the other side of death, and then come back and are reporting what is taking place. Now let me suggest to you in the very first place that I'm not capable of understanding what goes on in the mind of man as God is. And even those who have studied for a lifetime to be able to analyze the mind and advise relative to the use of the mind, I'm convinced do not understand all the capabilities of the mind which God has created. And I'm certainly not suggesting to you tonight that I'm capable of standing here and explaining everything that takes place. There are many things that I cannot explain, but I believe, based upon the Word of God, that there are some conclusions that we can understand. I am persuaded in the area of opinion, that what is taking place with some of these folks is not unlike the dreams that you and I have. And this is another subject that is not easily understood. Have you noticed that every person who claims to have left and come back from death to report is always reporting something that is good? Although perhaps none of them are Christians, or many of them are not at least, and some of them may be people whose lives are completely contrary to the Word of God, and lives that might be parallel to the rich man and the story of the rich man and Lazarus, but there has never been a report that I have heard or read where there was something terrible on the other side, as described in that passage in Luke 16. That immediately suggests to us that something is not in order here just by looking at it from the standpoint of common sense. I know of people who have been in an unconscious state, and even those of us who are in somewhat of an unconscious state as we sleep, who've had dreams and experiences of all kinds. I've known some of the finest people in the world who had some of the most unpleasant experiences. We sometimes call them nightmares. And those who have been in a coma for a long period of time sometimes will relate incidents that have happened. And I have known some of the finest people who have even used some of the foulest language when they were out of their mind, as we have said. Language they certainly would not have used if they had been at themselves. Whereas, on the other hand, those who have lived lives that are not conducive to Christianity and serving God have claimed to have the most wonderful experiences. It just doesn't stack up from that standpoint as we look at reason. And had you ever thought what life would be like for those of us that are still living if we really believed that our loved ones who have gone on are watching and are able to see everything that we do? Have you ever thought about the implication of that? And there's no implication in the Word of God that that is what takes place. Every word that is used to describe the condition of those who have left this life and gone into the keeping of God is used in the sense of sleep and rest and peace. And even the rich man who was on the other side of the picture in that story remembered that he had five brothers on earth, but there's no indication that he could look down and see those five brothers at that time. And so I would agree with this little article that is written, this paragraph, that it is not likely that those who supposedly are reporting have been on the other side of death and have come back. Now, from a scriptural standpoint, let me tell you why I believe that is not likely. In the first place, in the cases where we have documented in Scripture that a person died and was brought back from the dead, we have no record of what happened on the other side, brought back to tell us on this side. In 1 Kings 17, the son of the widow of Zarephath was brought back to life. But you read God's word in that passage, and you do not hear one question asked of him. You do not hear one thing said by him to indicate the condition that he was in after he had died and before he was raised from the dead. In 2 Kings 4, we have the son of the Shunammite woman. And here again, the Bible indicates that he had died and that he was resurrected back from the dead, but there is not one word given. There is not one question asked of him to tell us what it's like on the other side. Now, don't you think that if God had wanted us to know, and that if those people had thought that there could be a report, that surely there would have been something said? Not a word is said. In Matthew 9, Jesus raised the ruler's daughter. And yet even on this occasion, where it is known that even Jesus raised one from the dead, there is not a word given, there is not a thing mentioned about what that young lady saw in that condition where she was between the time that she died and the time that she was brought back to life. And of course, the classic example for us is the example of Lazarus. In fact, we have so much said there that there's just proof that he was dead. He'd been dead for several days. Where was his soul during those days? The only answer we can give in the keeping of God, as indicated in passages that we will note a little bit further in the lesson tonight. Now Jesus says to Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth from the grave, and that wonderful chapter of John 11 tells us about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But listen to chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And they made him a great supper. Now, wouldn't this have been a wonderful occasion to let Lazarus speak and report and tell what had happened? But instead of Lazarus talking about what had happened on the other side of death, the event talks about what needs to happen on this side of death. They made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And this is the event, you remember, that Jesus praised and said her work would be remembered. Here's Lazarus at the table. Now, can you imagine if you and I were sitting at a table where there's a man who was dead for 3 days and has been raised from the dead, where would our interest be if he could report from the dead? Not one thing is said by Lazarus, or at least recorded, that God wanted us to have recorded, that Lazarus reported about what happened during that time between his death and the time that Jesus raised him from the dead. Look at Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and was buried and went into the Hadean world. King James Version in Acts 2:27 and 31 says God would not leave his soul in hell. That word hell in that version is from the word that means Hades, and is talking about the Hadean world. The conversation that Jesus had with the thief on the cross is recorded in Luke 23, says that his soul was in paradise, which seems to identify the condition of the righteous dead in the Hadean world. And yet Jesus went into the Hadean world and stayed there during that period of time between his crucifixion and his death, his giving up the spirit. The Bible definitely says that he died. And then he is resurrected from the grave. And 1 Corinthians 15 not only emphasizes his death, burial, and resurrection, but there is a list of people given to whom Jesus appeared. Paul saying the last one was himself. Even hundreds of people, and yet not one time does either one of those people report that Jesus told them what it was like when he was gone between death and the resurrection. And did you notice what Darrell read a few minutes ago from the pen of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12? Paul said that he knew a man, and every indication is that he's talking about himself, who was caught up into the third heaven. And in this particular passage, paradise is used to describe the beauty of that place. And he says he doesn't know whether it was in reality or whether it was a vision. Whether God showed it to him in a vision or whether he took him there literally to show it to him. But there is one point that is made that is extremely important. He said there was not to be a word uttered about what he saw. Now we know that Paul saw what was on the other side of death. These that make claims today is another thing. We know that the Apostle Paul saw what is on the other side of death. But he said it was something that was unspeakable. He was not to describe it. And among all the things that the Apostle Paul wrote, especially encouraging people to be faithful and telling them about the beauty of heaven and being ready to go and meet God, he did not give us one word. He said he was not allowed to speak on the subject of what he saw on the other side. Therefore, I would suggest to you tonight that we cannot determine what's on the other side of death by listening to those who were raised from the dead. We cannot determine relative to even a report that Jesus gave concerning what happened to him between his crucifixion and his resurrection. And we cannot even give a report of what the Apostle Paul said he saw on the other side of death. Now, do you think if God would not let Paul write about it and did not record anything that Jesus would have said about it and did not allow these that were raised from the dead when we know they died and went beyond the point of death and were brought back, if God would not allow them to tell us anything in his inspired word, do you think he's going to let people today tell us through claims when those people are not even living for God in many instances? It brings us down to a bottom line of it, that all you and I can know about what's on the other side of death is what God has revealed. And there's not a lot revealed about what happens between death and the judgment. We have the revelation of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. We believe that this reveals a great deal in that at the time that the conversation was taking place, the rich man said he still had five brothers on earth. So evidently the end of the world had not come. This was sometime between death and the judgment. We can draw a conclusion that certainly is proven in that passage, that there is no changing of one's condition during this state between death and the judgment. There is the great gulf between, so that there can be no passing from one side to the other. We can readily draw the conclusion that the one who has died in Christ and in the right relationship of God is described as being in a peaceful and restful condition. Now, we usually talk about the place of Hades, the place of paradise, and the place of Tartarus. The more I study it, the more I'm convinced that it might be better to talk about it as a condition. Because I don't really know how and where God takes care of the souls that have passed from this life into His keeping. But He has revealed to us that at least the condition of Lazarus was a restful, peaceful condition, and the condition of the rich man was a condition in which there was the very opposite of that, and there was no changing during that period of time. I think we can rest assured of the truth on those points. There is the indication in 2 Peter chapter 2 that even some of the angels had been cast down into what's called Tartarus, and that's the one time that that word is used, suggesting again that attitude or that condition of one who has been cast down awaiting the time of judgment, not past the judgment, but awaiting the judgment. And that's where we get this idea of Tartarus. There may be some other passages, some in Revelation, well, especially one we used this morning, Revelation 14, 13. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Again, attitude of a suggestion that there's a restful condition on the part of one who's died in the Lord. And I think this verse also emphasizes that nothing can change the person's life between death and the judgment. One who has lived for Christ, there's nothing that can keep those works, as he describes them here, those deeds of service and that Christian life from following him. This may include that it follows him even in our memories, but also to the day of judgment. And other than a few passages like this, we don't know much about what happens between the time of death and the judgment. But aren't you glad that God has revealed to us at least those facts? If you stop and think about it, those are some very important facts. Simple, very few, but important. One, it is a condition of peace and rest. When you and I lose our loved ones that have lived for Jesus Christ and for God, and we believe that they're ready, we'll never see them again this side of the judgment. Isn't it wonderful to be able to believe that they're in the keeping of God in a restful, peaceful condition? And isn't it also important for us to be able to understand tonight that we cannot change things after death? Which reminds us of how important it is for us to make things right before death. I'm glad God has revealed these few facts to at least help us to understand in general what takes place. I'm sure of this, that when a person dies, the spirit returns to God who gave it. I don't have any doubt about that. I'm sure that those who die in the Lord are in some kind of a restful, peaceful situation, condition. I'm sure that those who have not died in the Lord are just the opposite. I'm sure that there can be no changing after death, but what has happened before death is what will be brought to the judgment, as pictured in Revelation 20. And I'm of the opinion that God had a reason for not telling us a lot about what happens between death and the judgment. You know, sometimes as much as we think that is so important, that's really not the important part. It's what happens after the judgment and what happens before death that's important. Because what happens between death and the judgment is something over which you and I have no control whatsoever. It's all in the hands of God. But what happens before death is something where we do have some control that will determine what happens after the judgment. And those songs that we've sung tonight about heaven, how beautiful heaven must be, that's after the judgment, in the eternity with God, in the beauty of heaven for an eternity. And what determines whether or not we'll be there is not what happens between death and the judgment, but what happens before death. While we still have the opportunity to prepare and get ready and live for Christ, live with Christ, become Christ-like, and be ready to live with him in the eternity. I don't believe that those folks who claim to have been on the other side and come back and report about what's there are valid. I do believe that what God has revealed to us is valid and trustworthy. And that we can know enough about what happens on the other side of death, between death and the judgment, to keep things in proper focus. And then doing that can really, really emphasize living in the abundant life here and the eternal life there. That's what matters. The abundant life here before death and the eternal life there after death. Those are the two lives that are important. And if we'll just take God for what he has revealed and accept him for what he has told us and accept him on his terms, here are two things that we can know. We can live for God and enjoy the happiness and blessings in this life. And we can live with God and enjoy the beauty and the blessings in heaven. And we can leave the rest of it where he has not revealed up to him. I believe that's where the emphasis needs to be placed. And when we place the emphasis there, we can sing those songs again and again. How beautiful heaven must be, how I want to go there, and how I need to live and serve God while I'm here to get myself ready, to be of the right nature and the right kind of person, to really be ready to enjoy the beauties of heaven. Let's live for Christ on this side of death. And we'll be ready to enjoy the blessings that are beyond our understanding on the other side of death. What's important is what's on this side. What are you doing on this side of death? Are you living for Christ? We don't have to depend on what some man has told us about what we need to do to live for Christ. Here, Christ has told us. And while there's so little said between death and about what's between death and the judgment, look at what's said about on this side. Worshiping God, serving one another, loving one another, caring for one another, enjoying the blessings. That's what's important. And that's what needs to be emphasized. And if you're not a Christian, if you've not been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, there's where you need to start tonight. And start thinking about what you can do here. And God will take care of what's there. And of us when we get there. If you're not living here in such a way that you're ready to live there, you need to come to Jesus as together we stand and sing.
Render not to any other what alone.